Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show on Wrestling Inc. And if we got a show for you, Io Shirai's screaming about changes. Drew McIntyre has banished the Judgment Day. And Bron Breakker looks to be starring in a future podcast because he's a serial killer. And someone's going to have to talk about this down the road. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Justin Labar and Jimmy Corderas. Jimmy, what do you got there?
No, I found a whole bunch of laminates from the years gone by. This is incredible. Places I forgot I even went to. Like, you know, let's see here. Japan, well, I remember that one. In the East, when we went to Malaysia, South African tour. Caribbean, or is it Caribbean? What's the proper pronunciation there?
Yes, Carlito.
Show us what they look like.
Yeah. Yeah, you showed us the unfun part. You showed us the back.
Well, here's one of them from 2002. That was, I guess, homage to Rock. But here's the South African one. Oh, here's a fun one. This one. Here we go. The old ECW production, One Night Stand.
Oh, wow.
Jimmy, they could do like one of those Hidden Treasures episodes just at your house.
Yeah, no kidding. Look at this. Here's a nice one. The old, it's still in the package.
The dog keychain. Tag.
Yeah. And of course, my favorite one of all time, since it was at the Sky Dome here in Toronto, the Ultimate Challenge. Yeah. Lapel pin, but it's a little big.
Yeah.
Hey, it's kind of cool.
Lapel pin.
That'd be a crazy lapel pin to just be wearing.
You know, I'm thinking of going to Money in the Bank to visit some friends there, and I may just wear that just for fun, just for shiggles.
You could make a killing on eBay if you ever needed to, Jimmy.
Shh, kayfabe, don't tell my wife.
Oh, yeah. <that's> not, they're not worth anything. There's no point in getting rid of them now. Justin Labar, how are you feeling today? How OTAs are starting. How are you feeling about your Washington Commanders' future prospects?
I'm excited for this first full season, having all season everything under the new regime, new ownership. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for my Baltimore Orioles. They just had another 4-game series sweep. The last time they did that, where they had two of them so far in a season, 2 4-game series, was 1987. So we're rocking and rolling, trying to keep pace with the Yankees. Sports are exciting in my world right now.
It's a good time to be a Justin Labar and fan of all sports in general. We got a jam-packed night for everyone. Lots of stuff to talk about here. And I want to thank everyone who's already joining us in the chat. Of course, like, comment, share, subscribe. I also wanted to let everybody know, in case you didn't know, last night, me and George Hermosa, we got on this very channel and we chatted all about NXT Battleground, and we had a fantastic time talking about all the things that happened there. It was a doozy of a show. I recommend anyone who missed it, go check it out. It's a great way to get ready for tomorrow's NXT review show. But guys, because we are covering these PLEs now, that means we're going to be covering Clash at the Castle this weekend. Flobo Boyce and I, we're going to be there live, so everyone can check that out. And tonight, we're going to be giving our predictions. So that should be a fun time there. So everyone, make sure to wait till the end. That's where our predictions will be. And of course, make sure to tune in on Saturday when we cover Clash at the Castle. But let's talk a little bit about NXT, NXT's Battleground. Lots of interesting stuff went down there. And of course, the big news, WWE, TNA, they came together. Jordynne Grace, of course, took on Roxanne Perez. And already that got people talking. Jimmy, I don't know if you had a chance to see NXT last night, but do you think we're going to be getting more of these kinds of crossovers, or what are you looking forward to with this NXT TNA situation?
I think at least the door is open and there is conversations going on and who could be possibly next coming over and that sort of thing. But definitely a good deal for everybody involved. I think for TNA, it gives them a little bit of a bigger platform. I know people out there going, yeah, but why don't you have them on Raw or SmackDown? You know, you have to take the first step, right? The first step is NXT. That's a bigger audience than they're getting with TNA. And it's a good product that they have there. Some amazing talent. Someone I'd like to see come over next maybe is, I'm a big fan of his, Josh Alexander. I'm a big Josh Alexander guy. Yes, I know people are saying, well, what about Moose? Well, that would be cool too, but what about Josh Alexander? See, it's got you thinking, who could be the next guy to come over, gal, to come over and be a part of that NXT brand? And who knows, maybe somebody from NXT will cross over and go to TNA and appear on their shows for a little bit. I think it's great. I think it's good for everybody all around.
Yeah, Baby Ice is saying, we want Gunther versus Josh Alexander. So I think Baby Ice is thinking the same thing you're thinking, Jimmy. Now, Justin, Jimmy mentioned Moose here, and Booker T actually spoke about Moose in particularly, saying that he doesn't even think Moose would go to NXT and that he would go to the main roster. What are your thoughts of something like that? Do you think that this will stick NXT TNA, or do you think that these guys could find themselves TNA main roster crossover?
I mean, it's definitely possible for a main roster crossover. I think if nothing else, maybe when the time on the calendar is appropriate, and I'm thinking Survivor Series, where you could have, you know, an NXT team or a Raw SmackDown team versus a TNA team, or obviously Royal Rumble, where, you know, we've seen some TNA talent pop up here in the last couple of years. I think when it makes sense for WWE, it could be there. You know, I don't think this is the end of this, you know, working relationship that we're seeing, because up to this point, you know, WWE's had Jordynne Grace on their programming. Like, I think TNA needs to get a little something back, you know, so I think they are going to continue going here. Whether that's something back is getting an NXT star over on a TNA show or TNA pay-per-view, or whether that's something more like TNA gets a little bit more of a high-profile spot, whether it is, again, Raw or SmackDown or something, if they're going to continue doing this. But it's intriguing, you know. I mean, this is WWE's version of a forbidden door, I suppose. WWE is going to be more selective and who they work with in a forbidden, more selective so than, say, Tony Khan and AEW, because, you know, just the philosophy of AEW is a little bit more all together now. They're also just fighting from up and under, so they're going to take as much working relationship and partnerships as possible. WWE is obviously in a different situation. They're in the lead spot, so they're not going to, even though AEW is not doing anywhere near the business WWE's doing, AEW does have the next best TV deal in America next to WWE, so WWE's not going to do anything to feed and help them gain an audience. TNA, different situation. Perhaps even, you know, with WWE continuing to move to more streaming, and of course they have the WWE Network, you know, what's the grand goal? Maybe this is testing the waters of, can WWE and TNA coincide in the office? And, you know, maybe there's a purchase down the road. Maybe this acquiring the tape library is the most valuable thing TNA has. So who knows? Be very interesting to watch how this is going. But it's exciting for the fans, and it's exciting for, you know, talent like Jordynne Grace, who I think we can all agree WWE sees something in her. And so if and when contractually she's able to, I think she's probably got a job in WWE waiting for her.
Yeah, Peter P says in the chat, I want to see PCO, Ace Austin, Mike Bailey, all awesome folks there. Baby Ice saying TNA team for NXT War Games. And Dylan Matthews saying, remember Jimmy, new NXT recruit All Ego has a history with Josh Alexander with the North. Mm-hmm. So a couple things there. I love all of this stuff. I think it's spicy. I think it's fun. Dylan also saying, I need the Rascals. We could see them probably coming together.
You know,
this
I love
is beautiful stuff.
It is, Jack. And I like I, like Dylan just said, kind of picking up what I was saying about, you know, Survivor Series and how they do NXT War Games. You know, wouldn't that be something is if this thing builds over the next 6 months and, you know, we see these little TNA NXT crossovers and rivalries and what have you, and we do get to that. Just think of some of the potential. Obviously, we're throwing out names like Josh Alexander and in relation and history with Ethan Page and talking about Moose. What if TNA needs their final fourth or fifth member or whatever it is? It's like, who's it going to be? And a Nick Nemeth pops up, a guy who has Hussein. I know all about this place, but I'm staking my flag with TNA. I mean, there's just so much potential. Jimmy's doing the hand symbol for those of you in the audio world. Matt Hardy's out there. So a lot of potential, a lot of potential if they wanted to go down that road, which you know, we'll continue to watch and see. Mm-hmm.
Of course, the thing that I think a lot of people are looking for as well, and Justin, you alluded to this, possibly a WWE purchase or what WWE can get out of this. And so there has been some speculation about whether or not WWE might try to quote unquote steal Jordynne Grace from TNA. It's not believed they would try to steal her, but Jimmy, clearly, once that contract is up, once her TNA contract is up, there's a contract waiting for her. I would assume in WWE, at what point is that? Is that stealing? I mean, I feel like you know, it's a weird. I don't know how you steal someone in this legal age. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think it's stealing. It's obviously people are interested and people see something in her, especially in the WWE with the NXT brand. You see it publicly. Her relationship with Shawn Michaels is very, 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 very good. And that's obviously the first step. And she herself has said she likes the atmosphere there. She likes being there. She's very happy being there. But she's also happy with TNA, and not that she's not happy there. But if you're going to progress yourself forward, with all due respect to everybody at TNA, NXT is a bigger platform. And if you're going to ply your trade, you want to ply it in front of the biggest audience you can and take a chance on yourself. And that's what Jordynne Grace can do, and especially thrive. And as far, I just want to backtrack a little bit to Moose. So I think, yes, I could see him on the main roster. He is a guy that can be that guy. But I think the other thing is you want these talents to come in and get acclimated to the quote unquote New York style of doing things, the WWE style. So give them a few reps down there so they can get acclimated, if that makes sense, to how things are done there instead of just throwing them to the wolves.
Yeah, and there's also the difference of, you know, Jordynne Grace is 28 years old. So she's just entering her peak from an age standpoint, from a physical standpoint. Moose is 40 years old and a big, powerful guy. Well, you know, I watch Monday Night Raw. They got a 20-something-year-old Bron Breakker, an early 20-something-year-old Bron Breakker who's a powerful guy, you know, and who's got, obviously, the pedigree and the family history there. You know, there's a guy named Gunther who's in his 30s who's, like, I don't know, just on the Moose situations, I don't know, like, if he's got enough, like, that we don't have anything like this. I don't know if he has enough that stands out that makes me say, yeah, he's worthy of a roster spot right now. He stands out and is different. And does this better than a Bron Breakker does it, or better than a, you know, whomever. So, you know, I don't know. I think you have to always consider that. I know guys and girls take care of themselves better in 40s. Not 40s, not what it used to be in the business, but it's still something I think relevant to consider.
I think with Moose, one of the reasons he stands out, frankly, is his size. And if you put him in a WWE ring, he looks the part. Where I love the Rascals, but frankly, most of the Rascals, if you put them in the ring with some of these guys like a Randy Orton, they're going to look so much smaller, and you're going to want that visual comparison. And he's kind of the big guy for TNA that visually, if he's across the ring from someone like a Gunther, he's going to be able to measure up. And so I think just that's one of the reasons his name comes up. I think Moose is great too, but I think that's one of the reasons Moose's name is tied to so many different him jumping over kinds of things. there was a great comment in the chat from Tutgraph. I wanted to get your thoughts on. And Justin, I'll throw this one to you. Tutgraph says, there's so much talent out there. The real competition is in creative and brand development. I think this is fascinating because there was a time when it was like, look, the greats were in WWE and then there's everybody else. But really, there's so many good wrestlers now. Having the best roster isn't necessarily the trick anymore. Everyone has the best roster.
No, I would agree with that comment. That's a very good comment. You're right. You know, WWE has depth for days between Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and then the pipeline underneath of NXT just in the PC. TNA has a very good roster, as we just kind of talked about with the mix of young and old that they have. AEW has a whole lot of people under contract, like over like 150, but they have a lot of good talent mixed in there. If you pull like the best like 50 out of that 150. So yeah, I would agree with that everybody's got quality talent, both on the men's and women's side. So yes, it then comes down to how do you use them? How do you work with what you have? How do you highlight your best pros and how do you, you know, minimize any shortcomings you have? So I would absolutely agree with that the, you know, 15, 20 years ago, the business was really drying up at a time when, you know, Rock's off in Hollywood, Austin's retired, Triple H has moved to part-time, Undertaker's moved to part-time, you know, basically when it's just Cena and Orton kind of carrying the load, right? And we start to get into Nexus or whatever. The period, that time in the business then was very, very, the depth was shallow. I mean, I think a lot of talent, a lot of guys moved over to MMA, you know, guys and girls who were coming up who were going into the 20s probably chose MMA for a little bit, and pro wrestling wasn't cool. It'd go on PG, and business was not just as booming as it has come back around to now. And now we're seeing just, you know, across the boards. Absolutely. That's a great comment by Tuckgraff. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, this is because we chat AEW a lot, and this is, I'm not saying this is the whole reason for this partnership, but if we're talking about business and 3D chess, if TNA is kind of a plug-in to the WWE, does that make it a little bit harder for AEW to compete with TNA for signing new talent? If TNA is offering me a contract and they've got this, you know, platform, before that seemed like an obvious, well, I'll take AEW over TNA from a platform perspective. But now that I know TNA might be that plug-in into WWE, suddenly a TNA contract looks very promising to me. Do you think that this, again, I don't think that that's the whole reason why this is happening, but do you think, again, from a, you know, a business strategist standpoint, that might be a shot against AEW, if that makes sense?
No, I don't know if it's a shot against them. I it's definitely a helpful tool for those looking for a platform other than the big two, because now that you know that TNA has a working, seemingly working relationship with the WWE, there's another avenue that they can take where, you know, like Josh, like Justin just said, AEW is just, they've got a lot of talent on that roster that basically is not really being utilized. A lot of good talent that they just don't have a place for. In TNA, you can find a place for these talents to get some reps in and get in front of an audience, in front of a limited TV audience compared to the other guys, but still it's a television audience. And then eventually maybe you can get them onto an NXT brand or something, or move them over. There is an opportunity there, but it's somewhere where you can go and ply your trade and show people, look, I got something. I'm betting on myself here. Look at me, instead of, you know, signing that deal just for the money. And saying, you know what, I may work a day, may work 2 days a week, and the rest of the time I get to sit home and collect a check. And a lot of guys, most of the guys that are in this business don't like that. I mean, it's, you know, some people say, well, why not just sit home and collect a check? That's not in a lot of people's nature, especially pro wrestlers. When it's in their blood, they want to be out there. They want to perform. They want to earn that check. They want to earn that money and earn the respect of the not only the other talent in the room, but also the fans. And, you know, be out there in front of the largest audience they could possibly be.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, take a shot at, that was probably phrased wrong. I don't think that they were sitting in a boardroom going,
right,
how do we stop AEW? It was more like a side effect of this arrangement.
I got that. I got that. I just, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, if you are WWE, if you are in a battle to, like, okay, you see that here's a company over here in AEW that is AEW plus the ROH brand. So it's two brands, and they're signing people at the rate they are. If you do want to keep yourself competitive just in having maybe a leg up and having a fast pass to get a look at some talent, the number one thing WWE could do is if they helped a little bit of finance to TNA, saying, hey, look, we can help make your contracts be a little bit richer, a little bit more attractive. You have this talent, so you have it for your TV, for your live events, what have you. We'll do a crossover when it's appropriate, if there's somebody that catches our eye, but we'll help give you a little bit of money and what have you, you know, in exchange for, you know, if you're WWE, if you're TKO, you say to TNA, look, you sign who you want to sign. We'll help maybe help aid the budget here a little bit, but you got to share the books with us, meaning, you know, if there's a particular talent we like, you got to let us know when they're 60 days or 90 days out from their contract with you expiring, and we get the first look, we get the first right of refusal after you, you know, to take a look and see if we want to bring them into our fold, you know, and maybe there's a kickback, maybe there's a, you know, percentage, you know, what have you. So I think that would be something that would be totally something, you know, yeah, WWE and Vince funded ECW back in the 90s, but this would be something even more complex, I feel like, more sophisticated, but it would be something that perhaps under the TKO management, they'd be interested in, you know, providing a pipeline to have another wave of talent come in and also helping make some talent more attractive to TNA or NXT and not being signed by the other guys. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that could be going on that we don't know. This is all just speculation, but I think there's room for it. And then again, if you do exchanges of, hey, we get, you know, we're doing an AJ Styles DVD, we could really use your library since AJ Styles has, you know, how many valuable years and matches in your library. You know, there's a lot of things that could be that I think TKO would be willing to sit down at a table and discuss.
Yeah, it's so much good stuff can come from this. Even, you know, if you're WWE and you have someone who you know can get there, but they're just going to need more time to develop than you want to be able to give them on your highly valuable TV time, send them to TNA where they can get some reps, maybe get some more exposure, learn a little bit more, and then come back when they're ready, basically like a Drew McIntyre did, but keep it somewhat in-house instead of saying just go off and do whatever, you know.
And really quick, you got to remember the creative minds that are working there in TNA are also very familiar with the WWE system as well. You got a Tommy Dreamer, you got a D'Lo Brown, you got guys like that working in that creative side, so they can help, you know, be that conduit between the two.
Yeah. New Japan, speaking of people who are possibly coming to WWE, New Japan pro wrestling star Hikaleo is reportedly heading to WWE to impact the Bloodline story. Sounds like he's going to be finishing up his time in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Sounds like WWE has a lot of interest in him. And it looks like he might be involved with his brothers in the Bloodline. Jimmy, this obviously, I feel like, sounds like a great idea on paper. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's a win here. But do you worry that maybe we're getting a little NWO-ish, where maybe this Bloodline thing is getting too big? Or do you think, like, hey, the more the merrier, let's keep this going?
I think you got to keep it to a minimum. And I'm not saying that this won't work here, but, you know, there's other people in the pipeline. People are commenting on someone like a Jacob Fatu and how come he hasn't been utilized yet. Here's a perfect fit for the Bloodline. You know, we still haven't seen the return of Jimmy Uso. And where does he fit in this picture as well? You know, and Roman Reigns is still, the crowd is, you hear it every week. We want Roman. So he's still in play. The Rock is still in play. There's a lot of players in play. If they add one more, I'm fine with it, but I don't want them to get too far there, because now you're going NWO black and white, NWO red and white, and that's how it feels. And I think a lot of people are struggling a little bit with the current Bloodline situation. I like it. I think it's very intriguing, but at the same time, they need to be careful and just, you know, weather the storm until it's ready for Roman to come back, or whenever it is that Rock is going to come back. That moment, they have to make it big. They have to make it a very monumental moment. The earth-shattering kaboom that we need from that.
Armando correcting, by the way, it's Hikaleo. I mispronounced. Apologies.
Justin, that's why I didn't say the name, because I knew I'd get Hikaleo, it wrong.
I messed it up. Sorry. My apologies to everybody. But Justin, again, this sounds great. I just worry if you're going to balance this many people in the group, similar to the NWO or and all those kind of things, they all need to do so much. How do you keep all of these people active without it just being the Bloodline show?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be as concerned if they want to also now bring in Hikuleo and show that, okay, this is Solo's Bloodline, and he's just, you know, he's got more numbers in the Bloodline in terms of bodies than Roman ever did. But if that was the case, I need to see it be dominant. I mean, be, you know, if we're going to use NWO terms, be kind of like what it was when it was Hall, Nash, and Hogan at the very beginning, when it was just, I mean, just causing absolute havoc across the brand, across the show. And I'm not feeling that. I mean, I look at this past week's SmackDown, and the Bloodline's in a six-man tag against KO and the Street Profits, and the Bloodline doesn't even get a win, albeit by dirty tag, because there's a DQ. You know, I mean, like, they, I don't, and I'm not sure, this is what I'm supposed to feel. Am I supposed to, like, be saying, oh my God, Solo, you're such a fraud. This Bloodline is, like, you know, can't hold a candle to Roman's blood. Am I supposed, you know, but then you have Paul Heyman, who's scared out of his mind, look like he's ready to pee his pants. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be feeling about this current Bloodline. And I don't think what you guys allude to, I don't know if adding bodies, at least how they've so far established or lack thereof, Tama Tonga and Tonga, I don't know if I'd go quickly adding more bodies. Now, if this is like, you know, we're going to add some more bodies, you know, after SummerSlam, and this is going to be like a big long play because, you know, Rock's not going to be back until Rumble season and remaining season next year, if Roman's not coming back until, you know, depending on what the timeline is, okay, you can add some guys throughout the year. But if we're talking about, you know, here through the summer, I think you need to give me way more focus and attention on the current Bloodline 2.0 people we have now, before I want to see any more added.
So we'll see how that plays out. Something that is playing out on TV now is Drew Barrymore and Cyndi Lauper. They're discussing how there's been a fan push for Cyndi Lauper to get into the Hall of Fame. This is one that I personally agree with. I'm shocked. I always say I'm terrible at keeping track of who's in the Hall of Fame and who's not. I feel like she absolutely has to be in there. Jimmy, do you think that Cyndi Lauper would be a perfect person to go in the Hall of Fame alongside you the year you're inducted?
If I'm alongside Cyndi Lauper, I'm all for it. But yeah, I think she belongs. You know, what do they have? The celebrity wing? Is that what it is? Yeah. The celebrity wing? Then she absolutely belongs in the celebrity wing, because WrestleMania 1, she was an integral part of that, and she brought different eyes to the product, because WrestleMania 1 was the launching point for the era we're in now. That was the mm-hmm. You know, that's where it all began. And we had people like Muhammad Ali, we had Cyndi Lauper and people like that. They played an instrumental part in bringing the audience. How much more do you need than that? They were big time. And you know what? Why not have her in there? I agree with that. I like having her in there. I like having celebrities in there who contributed to the wrestling business, because, and right now, you look at all the celebrities now out there that are fans of pro wrestling. And you hear some of the names and you go, wow, I didn't know so-and-so was a pro wrestling fan. That's kind of cool. And Cyndi Lauper was very instrumental in starting that. So mm-hmm. she should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I don't know if there was something that stopped her from being in. I don't know if there was some drama or any reason why she hasn't been in, but it actually mm-hmm. kind of shocks me she's not in. Justin, where did it go? I was trying to keep, there was a, someone made the comment, the Hall of Fame is good enough for Cyndi Lauper, of course, throwing back to her old song from the Goonies? But in any case, Justin, it's a slam dunk, Cyndi Lauper, right? Like, how is she not in already?
Yeah, it's actually wild. It is one of those things, right, to pull up the Hall of Fame list and do a double check and go, really, she's not in? You know, especially in all the years, you know, basically all the years except for prior, you know, except for this past year, you know, Vince had control of who went in the Hall of Fame, and he's always seemed to have such fondness and appreciation for everybody who was key in WrestleMania 1, you know, because without that success, you know, it doesn't continue on. And so, you know, Mr. T's in there, of course, and Muhammad Ali's in, and, you know, Cyndi Lauper had, I mean, she was involved in, you know, several events and several things that built up to Mania 1, of course, her music video having, you know, Captain Lou in it, and be like, and you know, just such a big part of the MTV crossover that that WB did there in the mid 80s. Yeah, it makes me wonder, was there some kind of drama between Cyndi Lauper's world and Vince McMahon's world? Now that Vince is out of the picture, does that all get wiped away where she can go in? She goes in here in an upcoming year. But yeah, it is quite the head scratcher that they have a celebrity wing and they've acknowledged so much of WrestleMania 1's crossover and that she, of all people, is not in there. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah, I saw a good recommendation here from Jay Willie. Batista and Cyndi would be great class. Batista, Cyndi, Jimmy Corderas, I think all stars in my book should all go in there.
Hey, the Rock's still not in, right?
The Rock. The Rock. You know what? Jimmy, I think if you're headlining, The Rock would be a great person to throw in there as like a legend.
Yeah, it's just as long as I don't have to go one-on-one with The Rock on the mic, that's for sure. I'd lose that battle.
So
who would induct you, Jimmy?
Oh wow, anybody but Chimmel.
Well, I want to say, because we're getting pretty late into the show, I want to give a shout out to everyone in the chat here, by the way. Ethan Cruz, Adam Staples, Brianne Tuckgraff, Adonde, Ricky, Daniel, Peter P. I can't say it to everyone, too many of you here, but John Jordan, of course, the fourth J. Good to see you rocking and rolling in the chat, buddy. Thanks for being here. Blue Chew as well. Burner account. Tox Kazim. David Huey. I haven't seen you before. Glad for being here. But I wanted to do this part now, not just so I can remind everyone to like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review, all that good stuff. But I also wanted to give a shout out, and because it's a super chat, to Chad W. in the chat said he asked the girlfriend's parents to marry their daughter tonight. They accepted and cried. I'm so lucky. And this is what really matters in life. Justin, your friends, Joel and Stacy in West Virginia approve and will be at the wedding.
Nice. So, congratulations, Chad. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Very cool. Very good to hear that.
Send me an e-invite. I'll record a video toast for the reception.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, there you go. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Very, very Cheers. Big congratulations. Speaking of weddings, that reminds me of music. And speaking of the Hall of Fame, people talking about Jim Johnson. You guys, I got to ask you guys, because on the show last night, we were talking about the WWE, the music. This is totally not on the schedule at all. I have to rant about this. I was talking to George, who is like a wrestling historian. And we were talking about the great songs from these old WWE, the musics. And I was like, sometimes I drink a little beer. Sometimes I make a little mess. And he said he'd never heard it before. And everyone in the chat was like, what are you talking about? Am I crazy? Do you guys remember that song? Yes, I couldn't remember who the artist was. And wasn't now it's H-Blocks.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
I do remember the song, yeah.
And it sounded exactly how I sung it, by the way. That's Anyways, it brought it back here. It's like, how could you not know this song?
One of the funny, I mean, I think it was number three had like the Triple H My Time on it and some bangers like that. Number four, I think, was built around the Pie song, around the Rock and the Pie. And that is just, you go back and listen to it. Oh my God.
Those old WWE, the musics, they were bangers, man. I know we only do Spotify these days, but man, if they still had that kind of music, it'd be so cool to get. Well, I guess the CFO stuff was cool. Once we got to a certain point, might not be as popular, the music, but that's a whole other thing.
I always loved when guys sang their own entrance music, like Double J, Jeff Jarrett, you know?
Yeah, they didn't see their own music, but man, I've always like the Big Show. I used to love in "I'm an Ass Man." Can I say that? That's part of the
song. Hey, they played it in the PG era. What the heck? You know, we had The Godfather, didn't we?
I used to jam songs.
I know. Remember, Godfather made me like. Bow!
As a guy who played bass guitar once upon a time, The Godfather's music is funky. Hey, that's a fun yeah. To try to play along with.
That was a good one. I'm glad you reminded me. I forgot how good that was. That little intro riff was so cool. Everybody come on the ho train.
We see all the local strippers that were gathered up and going out. And
oh, those were the good old days.
There was a lot of referees that wish they were Timmy White a lot of nights.
Mike Martin threw out Big Boss Man.
Yeah, he sang his, yeah.
Man. Yeah. So we gotta get in on the this week of Monday Night Raw, and I want to tie it into a little bit of the news here. Obviously, during the show, I've said it a few times. It seems it happens every week. Braun Breaker kills somebody tonight. he killed a couple people. He killed Ilya Dragunov multiple times. But man, I think he really killed Ricochet tonight by lawn darting him and slamming him through, I believe, a real glass windshield. Chester, I want your thoughts on how this whole thing went down. But also, obviously, the elephant in the room, Ricochet said he does not want to renew his contract. Looks like he will test the open market. This appears to be his final appearance. Thoughts on all that and the way he was taken off TV?
I mean, it was a big impact. It was a big moment. It built the whole night. Look, if he's leaving, which it looks like he is, then get something out of it. And in this case, it's helping build this dominant run that Braun Breaker is having. So that makes a lot of sense versus just, you know, having Ricochet just disappear with no explanation at all. And it was a good little angle to shoot, because if by some chance something did change and we came to terms with Ricochet, well, now you have a real, you know, meaning for another match between he and Braun if that was to happen. Now, I don't think that is, but I thought it was handled the right way. And so now this pretty much kind of confirms the way that they shot tonight. It kind of confirms what we're hearing. And he'll go off, and he will get paid and do just fine in whatever path he decides, AEW, Independence, New Japan, some combination of all of them. So yeah, I thought this was well done tonight.
Yeah. Dylan's saying Ricochet will be back at some point. What Slim Major saying, what if Ricochet doesn't resign, but Prince Puma does? Jay Willie says he owns his name, correct? That's an interesting question. Jimmy, watching all this, so a while back, you know, I couldn't watch my Seattle Seahawks play a game, and I had to wait till after the game. I was trying to avoid spoilers all day, and I got a little update on my phone. I didn't note it. I didn't realize. I checked my phone. It didn't have the score, but it said our running back broke his leg. And so I didn't see the score, but I knew he broke his leg. And so I get home, I start watching the game. And every time they hand him the ball, I'm like, oh, is this going to be the moment? You know, because I knew it was coming. Tonight, every time Ricochet or someone in Ricochet's peripheral came on, I was like, is this the moment? I know he's going to get destroyed tonight. What were you thinking during tonight's show, knowing that Ricochet probably wasn't going to be back after tonight?
I like the way they wrote him off TV, if that is indeed the case, if he is not re-signing with WWE, because it leaves the door open for if a possible return down the road, could be 2 years, 3 years down the road, whatever the case may be, he's got a built-in rivalry with Braun Breaker when he comes back. And if they can keep this under their hat, if it's an eventual return, imagine the reaction he's going to get. Now, conversely, if he is going to AEW, I pitched this scenario earlier today, because obviously Will Ospreay has been very open trying to lure Ricochet over to AEW. My thoughts are, don't go right away, or if you're going to sign with him, keep him off TV, keep it under your hat, keep Tony Khan's phone away from him at past midnight so he doesn't spoil this whole thing for everybody, because they're going to All In with Will Ospreay versus Swerve. And the big concern there is, okay, who does the job there? Who is going over? How do we get through this and make both guys look good? I know the ending may not be happy with a lot of people, but let's say Ricochet is there. They have a banger of a match, and Ricochet, a different Ricochet than we've seen before, interferes and takes Will out in the match, causing a DQ. I know that's not the finish that everybody desires, but, you know, and then on the Wednesday night on Dynamite, he comes out and there's a different Ricochet. He's nasty, he's mean, and cuts a promo big time on Will Ospreay. You think you're the best in the world. You wanted me here. You got me here. You called the Thunder. Now we get ready to face the Lightning or something along, you know, make up some, but make it like very sinister, very evil, and turn him into a heel. It's going to be hard over there because they'll probably cheer him anyway. But at the same time, turn him into a villain. Give us something different. Give us some personality that we, unfortunately, we're lacking in WWE. We saw a little bit of it, but not enough of it. So maybe there he can hone his craft. And if his time is up there and he wants to resign there, that's fine. If his time is up there and he wants to, I'm sure the door would be open for him for a return. And you got that built-in rivalry with him and Bron Breakker.
Just
spitballing.
Yeah. Yeah, this segment, I want to say, was done so well. Like, first off, when Ricochet hit the ground outside, I legitimately was worried. It sounded like he cracked his head on the concrete. I thought, oh, my God, this is bad. Fortunately, it seemed like he was okay. But the thing that did, like, Justin, this was so, so perfect in Samantha Irvin leaving and then not having a ring announcer. That, to me, I was like, this is beautifully done. And great on them. Great on Ricochet. This was the absolute perfect way this could end. And I think if Ricochet ever decides he wants to come back, I got to think the door is open for him, Justin.
Yeah. I know. And it's a great touch with Samantha. I mean, they've acknowledged her several times in her relationship with him, and they show, you know, social media show, they show like her reaction to crazy moments that Ricochet does or what have you. So yeah, that only makes sense that she, of course, would leave her ring announcer post and come check on him and then leave and go to the hospital with him. And then, yeah, they don't have a ring announcer. So give McAfee a microphone. Yeah, it was just logic. It was just simple logic and works. Yeah. So we'll see. I do think he ends up in AEW is my guess. I don't know if I agree with Jimmy on the, I don't know. And I'll be happy if he proves me wrong. I don't know if he has the chops to pull off something healed like Jimmy's suggestion. I've said this before. I thought the best thing I saw of him prior to WWE is I loved him in Lucha Underground as Prince Puma. I loved him under a mask. I loved him with the backstory they gave and Conan kind of managing and narrating that. I thought, you know, that was just a great, that played to a company that could do great. There's a Hollywood company that could do great video vignettes and then just let him do what he does great in the ring. I just don't know live if he's the guy with a live mic as Ricochet, if he's got a whole lot of juice there, but we'll see. Again, he's going to get paid, which, again, that's the important thing. Good on him. Next thing will be if it is AEW. Okay, you'll be a big deal for that week and the following weeks that you're the newest signing. Can they sustain? All too often, too many toys in the toy chest, you get lost in the shuffle. So we'll see.
One of my favorite memes was someone put one of those, you know, AEW graphics with him on it, and it said AEW has signed Rick Crochet, and he was holding like little crochet needles.
Him on TV.
That's my favorite one. But what's crazy about Ricochet is obviously we're all thinking AEW, but man, I bet he would sell some tickets on the indies if he decided to go the Matt Cardona route.
If Jimmy was talking about this earlier, if he's at a point where if he's like, look, I want to keep working every week, you know, that's how I operate. It's how my body operates. Go to the indies because he'll be the main event in every indie show he's on. He'll get paid whatever his asking price is. He'll control all of his merch, all of his pictures at intermission, everything like that. The hotel, the trans will all get taken care of. Like, he will be treated like a main eventer everywhere he goes for any independent scene. So if he wants to work.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today. Save big money
at Menards. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Two, three times a week still, if he wants to do it while he can do it, that's the place to go. Because as I just said a minute ago, AEW might be a nice guaranteed six-figure deal for him, but you're not guaranteed you're going to have a match every week. You're not guaranteed you're going to have a match every month. And that's just reality.
That's true.
I'll say this for everyone who's a big fan of Ricochet. If he is leaving and he is going somewhere else, now is the time to be the biggest fan of him you can possibly be. Support him. Buy his merch, support what he does after this, because I think, frankly, this is him. I don't know him. I've never talked to him, but I think this is him trying to show that he can be a draw and he can be the guy. And the only way he can do that is if fans support him in this journey. So if you do see that he's going to a show near you, go check it out. Go stream it on whatever network it's on. Mm-hmm. This is the time to be a fan of him, regardless of where he goes. Yep. Someone who's going to Scotland is Drew McIntyre. Someone who might not be Finn Balor, because he's not going to be allowed at ringside during that world title match. The first segment sets it up that if Drew McIntyre can beat Finn Balor, Judgment Day is barred from ringside at Clash the Castle. Drew does win, even after fighting off all of Judgment Day. Justin, this was not a surprising win in the sense that, of course, Drew McIntyre is going to get the win going in, but I kind of thought shenanigans may have set it up so that Drew McIntyre's back was against the wall in Scotland.
Not to be cocky, Jack, but this match went exactly the way I thought. I will hold my bigger bullet for our predictions, but this plays right into what I think is setting up for a beautiful story this Saturday.
Yep. Yeah, Jimmy, this is actually, I think, playing out very, very well, and I don't want to step all over Justin's predictions, but the way they've positioned Drew, still being Drew, but kind of as the good guy here, but you can tell it's only for one night. You can just feel it. Like, I'm going to root for him this weekend, and then I'm going to go back to cheering for CM Punk, hoping he beats him up. Like, somehow, this is like threading the needle, and it feels like WWE is doing it perfectly.
I think they're really doing it well, especially tonight, because he worked like a babyface. The match was laid out for him to be the babyface. That's how it was set up. And he took full advantage of it. And you could tell he was having fun with it. But, you know, it's going to turn once you get out of Scotland, because, you know, in Scotland, everything's going to be. And I kind of think I'm curious to hear Justin's idea, because I got a different one myself, because I know someone they're expecting to be in Scotland. I may have a different thought myself, but we'll see. We'll discuss it later.
Do you?
That's a teaser, lady.
Joe Hendry. So that was a fun one. Oh. But look, let's talk about the real news. That was news. That was the world title. I'm starting with that, but let's talk about the real news. Let's talk about what everyone really wants to talk about from tonight. Liv Morgan and Dom Mysterio. Liv gives Dom her hotel key. And you know what? We make fun of old Dom for being a wimp, but man, he was a lot stronger than a lot of us on this week's WWE Raw. There's a lot of discussion about what's going on with that later on in the night. Judgment Day loses to the LWO and Braun Strowman because Liv Morgan gets involved and ends up landing on Dom Mysterio. Justin, if you were in the Judgment Day, would you be a Finn Balor or would you be a Carlito when you saw this situation happening?
Let's just be clear for those keeping score at home.
That's cool.
Dom had a chance to go to the hotel and hook up with Liv, but he chose to stay at the arena and fight his father. That's a choice. I mean, look, this is story. There, I mean, this is I don't know. See, and here's the big question mark is like the timeline is, of course, with Rhea, right? Like, when is Rhea physically able to come back? You know, I think, you know, the rumor on the street is she's not had or right now is not having any surgery. She's just trying to rehab her injuries. So is that enough? Is that enough for her to be able to come back and still be Rhea Ripley? Like, when is that? And how does that affect the timeline? Or is like, is she out physically for longer than you want, but she could still make appearances to be present for the emotional side of this story? So this is soap opera. This has got people feeling all kinds of different ways. You know, you got, like you said, you got Carlito and JD and Finn trying to pull and tell Dom different things. Finn on the sly put that hotel room key in his pocket, if you call it that. I mean, there's a lot here to watch and a lot to unpack. I'm here for it. It's fun. And Liv Morgan, she's killing it. She's killing it with everything she does.
Yeah, you know, we're all going to get in trouble from this episode. I'm thinking, right. You know, Raw's 3 hours, and that hotel card got given in the first like 20 minutes. Could have made it back, but yeah. But the Jimmy, yeah, Finn. What's going on with Finn? Finn pocketing that card. Was he looking out for Dom, or was he looking out for himself?
That's the big question. Now we're going to have to find out, wait and see to find out. But I just found it interesting that as they were arguing over the card near the end of the show, the last shot we saw in the lair of the Judgment Day, everybody was kind of like reluctant to pick it up. Everybody, it just stayed there. No, we got to get rid of it. Yeah, I know. We got to get rid of it. Yeah, we got to get rid of this thing. But nobody did. It's like everybody was waiting for somebody to turn around and say, okay, when they turn around, I'm taking it.
Nobody wants to throw away the magic key that gets you into Liv Morgan's hotel room.
Exactly. And that was a fun one. But and earlier in the night when they were talking about it, Carlito was like, yeah, that's cool, man. And Finn was, no, it's not cool. It's like, oh, maybe you're right. It's not cool. You know, like, and maybe there's where it lies, because earlier in the night, Finn said, no, that's not cool. And maybe he was the one who wanted to acquire the key.
The look on Carlito's face when he said that's cool was so he had the most, like, that's cool. That's,
yeah.
Cool. There was an interesting question though from Megan Harden here. Justin, I'm gonna throw this one to you. This Liv Dom storyline is gonna have us forget that Liv is a champion. Are we at a situation where the story might be outshining the championship?
No. I mean, tonight she was involved in this, but you know, and if in other weeks she'll still have matches on Raw or PLEs. No, I mean, this is no. The thing is, Megan, the last and only other time Liv was champion, the belt made her. Her whole story was she was a babyface and she was the lifelong wrestling fan. It was like, oh, she wins and fulfills her dream and wins the title. But okay, what else do you have for me? What's next? And there was nothing next. This gives so much more context of she's on the Liv Morgan Revenge Tour. She injured Rhea Ripley, the true champion, then acquires her title. And in the midst of all that is, you know, causing relationship issues. This just gives way more context and layers to her and her character and what she's all about. That's not it. There's no, you know, she's still the champion, and they will highlight that when it's time to highlight that. But this week, tonight wasn't a night to highlight. Tonight wasn't a matter that she's champion. Tonight's like, yeah, you know, if you think about it, yeah, she has Rhea's title, but tonight was, look at all the lengths she's going to screw with Dom in the Judgment Day.
This is such a fun story. Yeah, Jimmy, go ahead.
No, I just thought one of the things that she doesn't have a match at Clash at the Castle, does she?
I don't think so.
So what? Why, you know, focus on the title when you can focus on the story that she's also involved in? And like you said, Justin, the title made her the first time, but a lot of times the title doesn't make the person makes the title. And that's what she's doing right now. She's showing layers, like you said, and that's what's helping.
Yeah, it's the, and also, you know, you look at how great the Roman Reigns title run was. A lot of people could say, oh, well, the story is bigger than the title when he had the championship in a lot of ways, but that's what made that championship great. I think the same thing is going to happen with Liv.
Like, he made that. Sorry to cut you off, yeah. Jack, but he made that story bigger. It was Roman right. Reigns who made that story, along with the help of Paul Heyman, of course, who makes everything better. But it's not the story. So sometimes it's the talent that helps tell that story that makes it bigger and larger than life.
Well, yeah, and what I mean is having the story, I think, elevates the championship. That makes the championship more interesting than just here's a wrestler without a story, they're the champion. Here's a wrestler with a story, they're not the champion. And this is fun. And I think that everyone's playing it so well. I think the characters are so well cast for it. The whole thing is being done. It's really my favorite. It's funny. Like a few weeks ago or a little bit ago, I was thinking, I think I'm done with Judgment Day. Now it's like, grab the popcorn. This is so much fun to watch. Before moving on, I want to say, I saw a second ago, people were chatting about the running back I was talking about. It was Thomas Rawls who broke his leg. A very not super well-known, unless you're a Seahawks fan, but Thomas Rawls.
Did he jump off the crossbar or something? And never mind.
No, just nice. no cages. Didn't jump off any cages. Alpha Academy and Sami Zayn had a run in. First, Sami apologizes for everything. Alpha Academy's pretty cool. They saw what happened. Like, we're over it. Otis talks about his life and everything that kind of got him where he is and how he lost everything and then got it all back once he started hanging out with Chad again. In the ring, Sami Zayn and Chad Gable trade a few words before we get Otis versus Sami Zayn. Otis is up, and Gable starts yelling at Otis, causing Sami to get an opening and get the win. After the match, Gable attacks Sami, but then eventually Otis attacks Sami and then almost beats up Chad Gable. Jimmy, this one, man, when Otis finally snaps on Chad, this place is going to go nuts.
Absolutely, and this is, if you talk about storylines that are intriguing and multi-layered, this is one of them, especially with Otis. You know, he talked to Sami backstage. He said, look, I had everything taken away from me. Chad was the one who brought me back from that dark place that I was in, so I owe him everything. And so there you have a little bit of backstory to it, and you're waiting for this lovable character to finally lose it. Loses you know what and just go crazy on Chad, and just when you think it's going to happen, he changes his mind and he snaps on Sami and he takes him out in the corner and the slam and the whole bit. But he's conflicted still. He wants to take out Chad, and the beautiful thing about this too is Sami, the way he presents it, the way he talks about it, the way he puts over Otis to the point where the crowd is chanting his name. Sami is helping get Otis over. So when that time eventually does come, it's going to be an incredible pop. But as far as the story, the entire story going, I love it because it's another story that's being told that you can get invested in. It's not just the top story or another story. It's several stories now that people are getting invested in. This one is kind of fun in a different way than the Judgment Day one.
Yeah, Justin, I loved Otis's promo backstage, how it was a serious version of Otis kind of talking about everything he went through. And he it was all real stuff that happened that I feel like we were supposed to forget about for a long time. My question to you is, what's the ceiling for Otis? Cause it feels like right now I feel like this is like the third time he's been at one of the most popular people going. Does he where's his ceiling at for Otis? If you have the pencil.
That's a great question. Let me start with yes, I agree with you. That was nice to finally hear from him, of like, okay, why are you so conflicted? Why are you being a dum dum here and having to turn on Gable? And so him to give his perspective of like, I had Mandy. He doesn't say her name, but he says my peach. I had Mandy Rose. I had my big brother Tucker. Remember, he was in a tag team once upon a time. Mm-hmm. You know, I had the Money in the Bank briefcase. I lost it all, and Gable was there for like. So it was fine. Like, okay, well, all right. Now at least I can put myself in his shoes and understand why he's being the way he is. He's trapped in this toxic relationship and he just can't get out. The turn needs to happen soon, because I do feel you run a risk every week that you prolong this of like people just starting to like, all right, I don't care. So I don't know if it's, I mean, I don't know if that's, he came close tonight. I don't know if it's setting up for this Saturday. If, you know, if he doesn't help Chad Gable the way Chad Gable wants in the match, and that's where it happens, and the Scotland crowd is where it is. I don't know if you conclude it next Monday. If you watch some QR codes, clues would tell you that next Monday something else big is going to happen in the story. So I don't know if you got to watch what you book on the same nights. The ceiling question, it's tough for me to how much stock to put in Otis, because everything Otis has ever done that's been popular on the main roster, at least, has been so directly tied to his relationship with somebody else. In this case, it's being under the abusive power of Chad Gable. When he was in a tag team, there was a certain thing with he and Tucker. When, you know, he was Money in the Bank, which is a prop thing to have for a short amount of time. Then it was, his oddball relationship with Mandy Rose, the Beauty and the Beast kind of dynamic there. So I don't know. But everything's always been tied so heavily to his relationship with somebody, some co-star. So I don't know what that means for once he breaks free from Chad Gable, and then you inevitably have a match. What's after that? I don't know. Maybe there's plenty more there. I'm not trying to just, I haven't seen it. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's always, I would say that's the thing about wrestling is, as wrestling, comic books, and daytime soap operas all have one thing in common, and that is there's no end. There's always a, and then what? Unlike a movie where you say and if it was a movie, he'd win the title and we'd go, yay, Otis. And then credits would roll and we'd never think about it again. But we always need that. And then what? And then what? And then what? For all of time, forever.
Yeah.
Io Sky beat Lyra Valkyria, but even though she got the win with some help, she still ended up screaming that something needs to change in Damage Control. Jimmy, is there more mileage to Damage Control? Can they change this, or does this feel like it's on its last legs and it's time to wrap it up?
It kind of feels like we felt for Judgment Day. We're okay, it's run its course. Let's move on and have everybody go their own separate ways. That's how it's kind of feeling right now. I don't know if they can get it back like Judgment Day has, because that's a different situation where they added another ingredient to the mix. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that would help in this situation. So I think it's time to find a creative way to disperse this group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Justin, any thoughts on Judgment Day and where they're at now? Not Judgment Day, I'm sorry.
Damage Control.
I feel Io Sky's pain. It's time. They need a shakeup. You know, Io Sky, this has been interesting with Io Sky, this whole rage and screaming and backstage stuff. That's been a little interesting. Kairi Sane, Dakota Kai, they're just, you know, I don't even think Dakota's like health, like she's got the knee brace on. I don't know how much she's clear. I mean, she took a bump on the outside, but I don't know how physically clear she is to do much more. Nothing's there. I don't think anybody's buying a ticket with any interest of what Damage Control as a group is going to do. They've just kind of once Bayley left and had her piece of them, they're just kind of, you know, they can't really hold much up to Jade and Bianca, and they're trying to put some stock in Isla Dawn and Alba Fry, and they're trying to put some stock into Zoe and Shayna. And Damage Control probably needs to go away, and we need to figure out what we still have for these ladies.
Nope. Jimmy just didn't want to be a part of it. He didn't like your take, Justin. Nope. Jimmy decided to just get lost. So in any case, we'll just kind of wrap up this last part of the show before getting into our predictions anyways. We had a couple of tag team championship situations go down. Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark kind of dominated Isla Dawn and Alba Fire in front of Bianca and Jade Cargill. They're going to have a triple threat match this weekend. And Awesome Truth survived AOP in a match that was set up tonight as well. Any takeaways from these tag team matches?
The tag team match for the women is just to set up, more bodies, more challengers for Bianca and Jay. We'll get to that in a second for our predictions. And Awesome Truth. Look, I'll say this: if you wanted to pull the trigger on AOP, you could have done it tonight and had them take the tag titles from Miz and Truth and really try to, like, you know, you're trying to cement them with tag team titles, and then Cross is trying to recruit Woods. They didn't do it. That's fine because Awesome Truth is really over, so I get not taking the titles of them. This AOP plus Karrion Kross, and I'm a big fan of Karrion Kross, but this feels like projects that Triple H has tried to get over several times. That's just not doing. You try to put them all together, and it's just not getting over. It's just not. They're not getting any of the big wins they need to get, and so I still believe in Karrion Kross as an act. I still believe in the presentation with him and Scarlett. AOP, not so much. They're tonight would have been the chance. If they didn't do it tonight, I don't see AOP and them working.
Yeah, I felt like this was bad that AOP lost this match, at least the way they did. Even kind of there were shenanigans, but it was pretty straightforward for a big rough tag team that doesn't really have a lot of wins to take another straight loss against a team like Awesome Truth that is. They're people love them, but Jimmy, it's not like they're a killer tag team that, you know, it's not like they're facing the Usos or the New Day or one of these teams that's considered greats. It's a team that we're supposed to kind of laugh at. And if the guys that are supposed to get laughed at beat the guys who are supposed to be the big, scary monsters, I don't know right. how scary the monsters are anymore.
Especially with the finish, you know, the roll up of death. I wasn't a fan of that. It worked last week with Sheamus and Ludwig. But in this situation, it didn't work. I don't think it, you know, having a big guy like that rolling him up for the pin worked at all, especially since you didn't beat him down. You didn't get him, you know, in a precarious position where, you know, you could suspend disbelief and say, okay, I could see where he could, you know, sneak one over on him. I didn't like that. And when stuff like that happens, especially with a big tag team, they're supposed to be big bruising monsters. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And like you said, Justin, I like Karrion Kross. I think he has something, but for some reason, you know, saddling him with AOP right now is not working. There's another situation where something has to happen there where they have to split them up and just let AOP run roughshod over everybody.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it. Let him just destroy people.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping would start happening with them once they came to Raw and once they started having these tag team matches, but they don't seem to get wins. And again, if you're a big guy that loses all the time or big guys that lose all the time, like if APA lost all the time, no one would be like, ooh, it's the APA. You would just go, eh, okay.
Yeah, that was the other thing with APA. When you saw them, you went, oh, these guys look like they mean business. When you see AOP, you go, oh, there's some big dudes.
I mean, if they were winning, I would think they mean business. I just don't worry about them. Right. So, of course, we'll see how that plays out. I don't know if I really even believe for a second that Xavier Woods is going to turn on Kofi for these guys either. That doesn't seem like it feels like it makes sense either. But I want to get into the fun part of the show, the part where we do our predictions.
Here we go.
So predictions, everyone, you guys, I want you to join us in the chat and in the comments section. Add your predictions to the comments after the show. I'd like to keep track of see if any of us got a perfect prediction. Like I typically do, but you know, this is Clash at the Castle. They don't say Clash of the Castle. But
sure. Put yourself over, kid.
So everyone join along with us. We're going to start with the Intercontinental Championship. Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable. Justin, I want to know what you think's going on here. What goes down? Who's winning?
Sami Zayn's retaining, and I'm going to say he retains. Otis does not do what Chad Gable expects him to do. And look, Sammy's going to continue on as IC champion, so it's not like this. It's not like that needs to be the headline of this segment. So Sammy wins, exit stage left. Otis gets berated. Otis finally comes to his senses and levels Chad Gable.
You know, it's I hate to start our predictions this way, but I pretty much agree with you across the board there. I think Sammy retains. I think this is where we see Otis turn. Jimmy, do you disagree? Do you think you're wrong?
I want desperately to, but I see it the same way. I think this is the perfect time for Otis to finally get his retribution and go on. And you can move Sami Zayn away from Chad Gable. As good as those matches are and the rivalry was, now you can have Otis versus Chad Gable and move Sami on to another challenger. So I'm taking Sami as well.
Sami seems to be pretty popular in the chat as well. Jay Willie saying Sami, Jose as well.
I like Bernie's comment. Read Bernie's comment. That's funny.
Bernie says Jack's already 0-1 before the prediction started.
I'll tell you what, with the way his trajectory is going, if we all agree that Sammy's retaining, Bron Breakker saying, "You didn't put me in the King of the Ring tournament." Okay. I'm going after a title, and I'm looking at this IC title. I think that might be something to look at as we head into the summer here.
Bron Breakker murdering Sami Zayn would be quite the sighting at SummerSlam. Mm. That's what you get, Sammy, for getting in everyone's business and trying to break up families the way you do. Can't break up the Breakker family. We got the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill versus Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. I get to go first on this one. I don't think those tag team titles are going anywhere. I think Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill are going to be champions for quite some time. I say they retain. Jimmy, what say you?
I hate to agree with you, Jack, but I agree that it's not the right time for this. They still need to be more dominant, and you got to find a team that is credible in beating them. Yes, in a three-way situation, you can get the titles off them without having to beat them. But at the same time, I don't feel it's the right time. You're still building your equity in Jade. So let her continue to be champion with Bianca. They mesh well together. Keep it going.
Yeah, Jose, Adam Staples, and Tut Graf all agree. But Justin, you say Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn, right?
I do not. I love it. Nobody can see this. Jack is keeping notes for all of us to see. He wants it in record of who's saying what. I'm gonna agree. Bianca and Jade. I'll be watching this match. This is just simply to line up more bodies to have Bianca and Jade beat. And I agree with that. I'll be watching this because you know, we watched Bianca and Jade in their tag match at Backlash in Lyon, France, and we talked about it. They got a little. It was a segment of the match that got a little lost, a little whatever. Triple threats, and especially triple threats tag teams, can be very, there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of traffic. So I'll be watching just to see how this match is rolled out and executed. It's no easy task. I'm trying to say it's no easy task. So I want to see how Jade most notably does, but her and Bianca, they are the superstar studs right now of this division, and they absolutely should be retaining the titles.
Yeah, I got a feeling that half of this is just that they can lose the titles without being involved, and that's why we're buying into this, as opposed to just, you know, because with all due respect, I don't see either of these teams beating. I don't see any team beating Bianca and Jade one-on-one. They're going to have to get something going for some other team, or they're going to have to break up this team. And this team ain't losing anytime soon or breaking up anytime soon. Jimmy. WWE Women's Championship match, Bayley versus Piper Niven.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it'd be interesting if Piper Niven were to defeat Bayley for the Women's Championship, but I don't think it's happening. I am sticking with the champion retains in this one. If I had to pick one championship on this card that would possibly change hands, it would be this one, but I'm sticking with Bayley.
Yep. Justin. With who are you going with here? I think I have a feeling this is going to be a very uninteresting predictions card.
Yeah.
As I'm looking down this card, I don't think this is going to get very exciting.
Well, but here's the thing. The outcomes, again, the winners and losers might be predictable, but they will be logical, and I bet I do think there will be a spice of, again, okay, Sami retains, but there's the spice of Otis and what he does with Gable. You know, and again, we'll get to Priest and McIntyre in a minute. I'm going to say Bayley as well. You know, look, it's going to be great. Piper Niven's going to get a great reaction in her home country. I would give her a little more of a chance, but again, playing a long-term booker, long-term chess here, Nia Jax is on SmackDown, which is where Bayley's at, and Nia Jax, as the queen, has a title shot at SummerSlam. So I don't see Nia Jax challenging another heel in Piper Niven. Yes, there's Money in the Bank in between now and then, but I don't see them hot-shotting a new world champion in the women's division on SmackDown that fast. So it just doesn't make any sense to me to have anybody else other than Bayley at the moment on SmackDown being the women's champion.
Yeah, I agree across the board. It's got to be Bayley here. Piper, I've been a fan of for a very long time, but also she's primarily a tag team person historically, for the past long while anyways. It just doesn't seem like this is a threat that Bayley's going to lose the championship. I think the crowd's going to love every second of it because European crowds love Bayley anyways. People are going to love Piper as well. This will be a fun one. This is going to be a fun show, but yeah, I see a lot of retaining happening here. And that leads us back to you, Justin. Undisputed WWE Championship I Quit match. Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles.
Yeah. Cody's not losing yet. Yeah. I like the I Quit stipulation, like make it a juicier match, taller hill to climb, so to speak, for Cody and his title defenses and his title reign. But and I love what they're doing with AJ Styles, trying to, you know, again, having him there with Anderson and Gallows and having this side of him, having the fake retirement, all of it. I think it's all a great way to try to heat up an exciting opponent for Cody, even if it is a rematch from Backlash. But there's just like a timeline of like, you're just buying time with Cody until you get to a certain PLE where, okay, now it's time to have like the first like real potential threat of him losing and make us really all come at odds in our debate. We're not there yet, and that's fine. He beats AJ Styles, and I don't even think this is the last match of the night. I don't think you end on this match anyways. So. No.
Yeah, I also agree Cody Rhodes wins, but what I love about this match setup and what I'm really looking forward to with most I Quit matches is how they get the I Quit, because very rarely just, oh, he's in a figure four, someone quits. It's always interesting, so I'm very curious to see how Cody Rhodes gets AJ Styles to say I quit, but Cody Rhodes is winning this one. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you famously said that AJ Styles is going to get an easy win here.
I did? Boy, I had a brain cramp there. What the heck happened?
Famously,
yeah. I don't see that happening. You know, they're going to have a hell of a match for sure. I like the stipulation added, but with all due respect to Michael Cole, who said tonight on the program, it's an I Quit match, so the person who makes it doesn't answer the 10 count to get back to their feet is the winner. That is a last man standing match. That is not an I Quit match. Michael Cole, I guess he had a little bit of a rough night because he couldn't tell Dragon Lee from Rey Mysterio as well. So, but yeah, it's Cody Rhodes. It's got to be Cody Rhodes. I'm just curious to see how Gallows and Anderson play into this, because like you said, Justin, maybe the predictions and the outcomes may be maybe a foregone conclusion, but it's all about the story and how you get there and how you tell that story to come to that conclusion. And I think this one's going to be interesting.
So Cody crossed the board, and then, oh man, the one that's going to be tough to decide. I get first pick at this one. World Heavyweight Championship match. Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. I feel like this is the only one that has some questions to it, and I'm just going to put it all in and say, I think Drew McIntyre gets his win in his home country, and I think he becomes world champion. I think he does it. I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre.
Oh boy.
I disagree.
I do too. I think Damian retains, and I don't think it's going to be a certain Chicago Saint who helps him retain that championship. I think it comes from somewhere else in the form of a hotel key card.
Wait, someone from Chicago with a hotel key? You think?
No.
Whoops.
I think she plays a factor in this. That's for sure.
You think Liv Morgan helps Priest retain?
I think that's her trying to show that she is trying to help Judgment Day and trying to win him over, because he's very much, you know, don't fall for it. He's very much against Dom and everybody siding with her.
Yeah, see, I'm gonna go with, you know, as I teased earlier, by having Judgment Day banned. Okay, so now you know Dom, Finn, JD, Carlito, they can't come. I think they sneak CM Punk into Scotland as best they can. Punk distracts Drew. Drew is gonna be Bret Hart in Calgary. Drew is gonna be the over like Rover babyface. Punk distracts or does something to distract Drew, calls Drew. Priest wins. Punk gonna have nuclear heat in Scotland. Drew is gonna be just irate beyond belief. And then Priest can continue on to SummerSlam and probably take on Gunther, and that's a whole other thing. But I think that Drew versus Punk has so much to it. It does not need a title. You don't need to, I say waste, but listen to my context. You don't need to waste Drew and Punk that people are been clamoring to see physically touch. You don't need to waste a title match on that. That match can live on its own as a grudge match, and you can still then also have a world title match where Gunther is trying to accomplish that elsewhere. Again, I think with Priest. So that's the way I go. And then again, look, you know, they come back Monday. They're in Corpus Christi. I'm not sure if they do any crossover, but then the next SmackDown's in Chicago. So if Punk resurfaces, I don't know if they, you know, cheat and have Punk and Drew a little bit on SmackDown as well, just because it's Punk's, you know, Punk gets nuclear heat in Scotland, and now he gets to be, you know, heroes welcome in Chicago. But just again, all things to keep in mind that are relevant. But yeah, I'm saying Damian Priest retains. CM Punk one more time is a thorn in Drew McIntyre's side.
I love it. And you know, you're probably right, but I'm sticking with my pick because I think what happens is Drew gets the win. He has his big moment. He finally gets to have that win in front of the crowd. And then I think it's CM Punk who wins Money in the Bank. And now Drew, who wanted revenge against CM Punk all this time, is the one being tormented by CM Punk, who now has the ability to take from him yet again. And now it's Drew running from Punk instead of Drew trying to get revenge on Punk.
So, Jack, that's a pretty good scenario, too. And I'll add on to your suggestion. If they went that route, they could then, on the SmackDown after Clash, that is in Chicago, Punk could qualify for Money in the Bank by having a qualify match. Again, this is all pending that he's physically, you know, right. he said in that Ariel Helwani interview back around Mania, he had said that he's rehabbing better and quicker than he did when he was injured in AEW. And of course he attributed all the great care and everything. So this is all on the basis that he's able to go, but that would be an interesting scenario right there to have Drew finally win it in front of his home crowd. And then all of a sudden with the license to steal, here comes Punk.
You know, just to throw it out there, I don't know if you have to actually sneak him into Scotland because he has been doing the pre-shows a lot.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Which is smart so, by them.
Yeah. So if he does show up in a suit and something like that, does it tip it off? I guess it does to a certain extent, but at the same time, he has been on the pre-shows. So maybe that's a route to take. But
it's still best not to know for sure that he's there.
Right. Right. Yeah. And plus the pre-shows for the overseas ones have been from studio here in North America. So.
What a bummer, though. You have to fly all the way to Scotland. And don't leave your hotel room. And you're like, wait, I flew all the way over here and I can't leave the hotel room and I got to sneak around. I can't even go do stuff.
You don't have to even worry. Well, it's Punk. You don't have to worry about heading out to the pub. So,
I don't think, hey, stay sequestered. I don't think he's that bothered by that. I don't think that's a huge knock to him.
Can you come over and stay in the hotel room and not be seen? Yeah, no problem here.
Yeah, can you come over here and deal with as few people as possible? Yeah, you're gonna pay me too. Great.
That's true. I for me personally, I can't see the sights. I can't go do stuff. I'd be so bummed out. But
he's been to Scotland before.
He's probably seen a few more sights than I have. Yeah. So he's like, whatever. I get it. For me, I'm like, there's a sight. I gotta go see it. So those are our picks. Let us know, anyone, if you agree or disagree in the chat or in the comments. Let us know if you have a spicy pick, one that's not one that everyone else thinks is going to happen. Like, do you think Piper Niven's going to win? Do you think that Isla Dawn and Alba Fire could win? Put it in there. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go around the horn here. Justin Labar, final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
No, a good Raw. Lots of stories. Look. We all want to see good belt-to-belt action, but at the end of the day, the stories are way more important than the wrestling match. And so they're hitting it right now. And there's a lot to look forward to with this PLD this week, and then Money in the Bank after that, SummerSlam after that. A lot to be excited about. At Just LeBar on the socials, follow me there. I am here, of course, every Monday with you guys. Every Sunday, I'm hosting all 3 hours of Busted Open with my partner in crime, Jonathan Hood. And then I usually have my Spar with LeBar segment. In the past, has been on Friday mornings. Maybe keep an eye out for Thursday mornings here moving forward. I might infiltrate Thursdays. So if you're a Busted Open fan and want to get a little weekday action of my nonsense, Thursday might be where you want to tune in. So all good things.
All very good stuff there. And Jimmy Corderas, what are your final thoughts, and where can we find you?
I echo Justin's sentiments about Raw tonight. I thought it was good leading into the pay-per-view this weekend. And like you said, stories with layers and things that people get interested in. That's, you're right. Matches, good matches. We got some good matches, but it's like a variety show. You need other stuff other than good matches. You can only have bangers for so long before you need maybe a little dessert and a little whipped cream with, you know, a cherry on top, something, you know. But as far as where you can find me on all the socials, at Jimmy Corderas on Twitter, at Real Jimmy Corderas on Instagram. You know, you can find me here on Monday nights with Triple J, Wednesday nights after Dynamite as well, on here on the Wrestling Inc. channel, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and I, and RJ, who holds the glue together. Last week, one half of the fabulous Rougeau brothers, mon ami, Raymond Rougeau, I almost said Jacques because he's not the Mountie. So, but Jacques Rougeau, what a great episode. And this week, another part of a tag team, one half of the Killer Bees, B. Brian Blair, joins us. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well. And of course, my ref and rants from Monday to Friday and all my social media platforms, where I make little critiques, not to tear down, to tighten screws, as I like to say, and have a little fun. And of course, on the Ref It Up podcast, you can also enjoy my new segment called Corderas Karaoke.
What song did you sing last time?
What was it last time? Hold on, let me see. I got the list here. It was a little spin on I Couldn't Get It Right.
Oh, nice. Well, everyone, make sure to check that out. And also, make sure, again, check out our Clash at the Castle coverage here on Wrestling Inc. It's going to be right after the show. So once you're done watching Clash at the Castle, hop on at Wrestling Inc. And we will be covering it, me and Flobo Boyce. It's going to be a fun time. I thought this was a great show, and I think that WWE has proven how great it's doing with stories, because almost all of them could go a million different ways, and all the different ways are interesting and exciting. So this is really good stuff, especially for this time of year, when you think about typically this is where things sort of unwind a bit, but good stuff all around. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And I will be on the AEW after show this week. No, I won't be on this weekend. This week, I won't be back until Wednesday or until this weekend. I won't be on this. I don't know who's on, Jimmy. I'm leaving you high and dry. Good luck out there.
Oh man. All right. Thanks. Now I know how you feel. All right.
Well, but definitely follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news, and make sure to check out the NXT after show tomorrow, I believe, with Glenn and George. That'll be a fun one. Until then, I'm hitting that end stream button.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.